We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Peter Gammon's back with us again this year, and a good day to have Peter on. As people know, Peter's not only been, you know, one of the foremost baseball columnists and reporters for a long time, he's also from Boston. And Peter, obviously, for the wrong reason, Boston's in the news, and I know that in the coming minutes, CC Sabathia is making some comments that are going to be made public in a couple of minutes, talking about how the only place he's ever been called any racial slurs or anything defaming has been in Boston. All the players know it. So I thought we were way past, you and I were old enough to be way past this Boston issue. Now it has reared its head again.
Well, it's ugly and it's realistic. There's a talk show in Boston where they have a web page and they question, well, how do we know this was everybody, the Red Sox acknowledged by 9 o'clock this morning. Sam Kennedy, the club president, had a statement out and completely backing Adam Jones.
Right.
I was really glad a few minutes ago, John Henry and Sam met with a lot of their players, David Price and about 10 of their players. And then they went over to the Orioles clubhouse and went to see Buck and apologized to him. And then asked to spend time with Adam Jones. And,
handled it well. I mean, the Red Sox got out in front of it. Manfred got out in front of it. But, Peter, maybe I'm naive now, or maybe I've been around too long. I mean, we all knew this was that this went on in the old days. We always knew people talked about this from the days of Bill Russell right through players on road trips talking about how they didn't like to go through the airport in Boston and everything else. I thought we were past this stuff.
I thought in a lot of ways we were. It's always worried me. Terribly, that it's there, sort of underneath the surface. And as one who does quite a bit of work in the inner city of Boston, I've always sensed it that there was still, it was a city built on ethnic neighborhoods. I mean, neighborhoods were developed by ethnic groups. They were separate, and I think it created things. When I first started in the business, I mean, I had things said to me about that I couldn't believe. I'm a civil rights movement guy from the '60s, you know, and it stunned me. And yet, I remember, I think it was either '72 or '73, one of my first years covering the Red Sox. Reggie Smith encountered flaunting and racial epithets. Reggie was not only an extremely intelligent man. He was sensitive and he was emotional, which is fine. I mean, but I wrote about it and I had things written to me and yelled at me at the ballpark in the next 2 weeks that were really beyond my comprehension. And it's been there, and it was very interesting. Sam Kennedy actually grew up next door to me, so before he got his first start as a Yankee intern. But he, when they made the announcement that they had a little function for him as the incoming Red Sox president, and he asked for his father and me to be flank him on either side at because we were very close to him. And one of the things he addressed right away is, let's not pretend that Red Sox history is all glory and pesky pole and that kind of thing. You know, there is history that's very ugly. Hopefully it's way in our past, but it's something we can't ever forget. And I thought, you know, I mean, I've known Sam since he was 9 years old, and his parents are among our best friends. But I felt really good about, okay, it won't be swept under the rug. And this morning it wasn't, and this afternoon it wasn't. And I think that, you know, the idea that anyone who is caught is overheard. People, first of all, the Red Sox are asking, if you hear this, go to people in the ballpark and address it. We'll have this person not only thrown out of the park, he may be further prosecuted, but he'll never be allowed in the park again. And the way they have tried to deal with it head on is really important.
Have the players up there? I mean, I didn't think it was an issue with the players. Is it an issue with the Red Sox players anymore?
I think at times it's bothered David Price, who's very sensitive. I mean, David is, as you know, is very smart. And I think he worries too much about what people think and say. He said in a story this winter that he was surprised that he got replies occasionally to his tweets that had racial overtones, some things that were said to him. It bothered him. Well, you know what? He should say that. But he's taken a beating for that. And I find that deplorable. And, I mean, I remember in the another thing. Remember when Mickey Rivers and the Bill Lee fights, Mickey Rivers supposedly threw a cheap shot at Bill Lee. It was a baseball brawl. Mickey threw a punch, as you know.
Yep.
A great guy, Mickey Rivers. But he became a villain. And people were screaming things at him in center field. And a guy hit him in the head with a bolt, threw it down and hit him in the head. I mean, he could have been seriously injured. And I remember dealing with all that. And it's something that shouldn't be swept under the rug. It's not funny to talk radio. I mean, I guess you could say anything you want in certain places on the air, but that's a subject that is humorous at all. And I'm a couple of years ago, I did a fundraising forum, and Mookie Betts had been a rookie. Tony Clark was there, and someone in the audience addressed each of them about Boston and how African Americans view Boston. And, I mean, Mookie was 2 months in the big leagues, which this should tell you. Tony Clark talked about how he was worried a little bit when he went to Boston. It turned out to be really good. He had a great experience. Mookie admitted that it's something that players in the minor leagues who are minorities do talk about. I wonder what it will be like when I get there. I remember saying to Ben Cherington at the time, you have a guy who's very mature. Because if this guy could, after 2 months in the big leagues at the age of 22, can address that question and answer it honestly, I mean, you have someone who's going to hit everything head on. But it's been there, and this cropped up. It is real, contrary to what WEEI thinks. Everybody knows it happened. And it's...
Well, this has been Boston's. As we know, this goes back to the days of the horrific stuff you heard about Bill Russell, who was a god around the world, but not in Boston. And, you know, the stuff that went on, guys breaking into Russell's house and things that went on all the way back then. So, and we know the history of Boston. Now, maybe, like I said, maybe it's naive to think we ever got past it. I guess we haven't. And I guess CC is addressing it and saying that he and a lot of the minority players know that there's always issues still to deal with in Boston. I remember Yankee players in the 80s and 90s complaining about the airport in Boston, how they were treated when they went through the airport in Boston and stuff like that. But that's a long time ago now. So, you know, it's, you think you're past it, but, you know, this is a rude awakening that we're not past it.
Well, and it says something about CC as well, that almost every year for the foundation which I'm affiliated, he goes and talks to a whole, we bring a lot of kids, inner city kids, and CC addresses them, has pictures taken, signs autographs, does things. He's coming to Boston to forums where we're raising money for inner city kids and nonprofits in the inner city. I mean, he may have that feeling, but he's gone out of his way for me to try to help whatever is the perceived problem in Boston. And, you know, I just think that should be mentioned because it tells you a great deal about exactly who CC is and that he would never feign anything or exaggerate it.
What was the reaction, as far as you know, Peter, from the Orioles and from Jones?
He was upset last night. I mean, I think there's a lot of tension, and Buck has tried to address it. Pedroia has really tried to address it. So stemming from when he got slid into, I mean, Manny Machado was not trying to wipe out Dustin Pedroia. He came in a little late, and his leg was up. But when he hit the base, so you know, teams replace bases, like all the bases, three times every game and then sell them.
Yep.
So they're hard and they're very fast. He slid across. He was out because he jumped up to grab Pedroia to keep him from falling. I mean, he didn't know that Dustin had hurt his knee, but he was afraid he was going to be knocked over. Machado jumped up and grabbed him to make sure he was all right, and he stepped off the base, didn't call time, and therefore was tagged out. But there was the barrage of tweets about, boy, they've got to drill Manny Machado or get hit Adam Jones, and it became, there was a hysteria over it that didn't exist with the players. Now, there's no question that when I'm sure there was pressure on Matt Barnes to drill Machado in the back or whatever it was, and he missed. And you know, Matt's biggest problem over the last couple of years has been the command of his fastball inside. Okay, I know he wasn't trying to hit him in the head; it went there. But you know, those of us who remember when Ken Tatum hit Paul Blair in 1971, and Paul Blair was never the same player. And by the way, Ken Tatum never threw a pitch on the inner half of the plate again and was out of baseball within 2 years. And we're, you know, for a lot of us who, being the same age as Tony Gnigliaro, remember that.
Remember it well.
And, I mean, Kari Stremski always talks about
would have been a great player.
I said the unquestioned Hall of Famer.
No question.
It's really ugly. I mean, somebody in the commissioner's office said to me last week, the stupidest thing in baseball is the idea that you have to get retribution by throwing up at near someone's head. And I think that we're going to see with Rob Manfred and with the cooperation, I think, of most teams, that you're going to see that they address this. And, I mean, you want to hit somebody? I mean, I don't know if Dylan Bundy hit Mookie Betts intentionally last night. I mean, putting Mookie Betts on in a two-run game with nobody out, I find a little hard to believe. But, okay, if he did, but he hit him, where did he hit him? He hit him in the thigh. Where if you're going to do it, you do it that way. And I think it's going to become something of an issue. And I think with fans, it will become an issue across baseball. I would not be surprised if Manfred addresses teams. If these things happen, teams are going to be held accountable as well. You have to patrol your ballpark. Now, talking to Orioles people today, they said the security people at Fenway Park, once this thing happened, were terrific. I think they threw 58 people out of the ball. Cold, wet night, a lot of drinking going on.
They threw 58 people out of the ballpark?
Yeah, that's what the Orioles were told. And The only comical thing about this is the guy that was yelling into the dugout and threw the bag of peanuts at Adam Jones. If you're going to be drunk and you're going to be racist, at least be accurate. But the peanut bag hit the policeman in the he hit the policeman in the head in the dugout.
Oh, really?
So if you're going to get in trouble, you at least have the peanuts hit Adam Jones or an Orioles player and then get out of it. Don't hit the cop.
Is there outrage or is there denial in the city right now from the Boston proper? Is there outrage about what happened like there is from the Red Sox and from baseball, or is there a denial?
I think there's outrage. And I think that the more people see it and see that the Red Sox took responsibility for it. And I don't think it's feigning outrage in the team's case, because from 2002, when this group bought the team, they've really been pillars of the inner city, and their foundation does a great job. And actually, they've now partnered up with our foundation, and they do a great deal in the inner city. They do care, and from what I understand, Tom Werner and John Henry were really angry, and you know, allowed Sam, who is the son of an Episcopal minister and a great urban leader. I think that's, you know, they've taken a direction that doesn't belong anywhere, but it particularly doesn't belong in a baseball stadium. And especially, I mean, they were the last team to have an African-American player, the Pubsey Green,
right.
1959.
Absolutely. Yep.
And, you know, I mean, Earl Wilson, Ted O'Connell, before he died, told me that they had to trade Earl Wilson, who at the time in 1966 was their best pitcher. They traded him at the June 15th trading deadline in 66 because there was an issue. He tried to buy a house in Hingham, Massachusetts, and the people in the neighborhood didn't want a black family in the neighborhood. And O'Connell thought that it would be such a black eye on the Red Sox that they were better off trading him than going through any more embarrassment. And so it's one of those things that it happened now. You've got it right, absolutely. We all thought it was passed. Now, we hear some things once in a while. We hear, you hear certain things said and so forth that you go, I mean, really? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, I can remember being a freshman in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, when in January of 64, when everything was integrated in the state of North Carolina, there wasn't 1 week of, gee, you know, people being upset that it happened. They accepted it. I mean, it was okay. We're now in the 20th century now. I mean, where have we gone? And I think it'll really change the tenure, and I think if there are any undercurrents, then I think that people will come forward and call it out.
When was the last incident before this? How long ago was the last recognized incident before this?
The last recognized incident, I think, was probably in the late 70s with Mickey Rivers.
Okay.
But it's, you know, see, it's happened. It happens in bullpens and guys don't talk about it. And, you know, I thought that I've talked to a lot of people about it. My good friend Buster Aldine and I have talked about it a lot. He's another New Englander like I am. With a lot of the calls for revenge on Manny Machado, I thought there was a lot of racial profiling in it. Like, oh, he's a hot-blooded Latin. I mean, he's from Miami. He's an American citizen. I mean, but that's I really sensed it, and it really bothered me terribly that the way Machado was treated. And I have to say this. I think with all that's happened between the Orioles and Red Sox and so forth, with a lot of the hysteria and upset talk show people, that Dustin Pedroia, who last night, when a guy kept trying to push him on the issue, said, you know, I'm tired of this. This is irrelevant. I'm going home. Goodbye. And walked out of the interview. And I love that. But Dustin Pedroia and Manny Machado, who together have tried to really calm everything down and say that they have no hard... Pedroia's never had hard feelings towards Machado. And also Adam Jones. The three of them have risen above the pack and deserve a lot of credit. And some people... It amazes me that people don't understand. I mean, I covered Adam Jones's father-in-law, Gene Fugit, when he was the best player in the history of NESCAC, playing tight end for Amherst before he went to the Redskins and Cowboys, and almost bought the Orioles. A fabulously successful businessman, a very dignified gentleman. Adam's a very smart guy, and his family is terrific. And that's he absolutely, however, whatever this guy was thinking, you sometimes wonder, don't they understand that maybe, you know, they should find out who people are and not cast everyone under the same rock? It was ugly, and I'm really glad that again that the commissioner's office and the team have sort of gone together, and the Red Sox have no problem with. I know that they welcome the fact that Manfred is outraged by it as well.
Well, they have moved quickly, which is good, and good job by you of bringing us up to date on everything. We appreciate it. We'll talk some baseball next week when we talk. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Peter. Bye.
Thank you very much.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.